Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. Let's get right into the biggest stories in tech today.
We have a massive update on the AI regulation front. If you have been wondering why some of the most powerful frontier models suddenly vanished for a few weeks, we finally have the full picture.
Exactly. The US government stepped in with a heavy hand, and it is setting a wild precedent for how artificial intelligence is treated as a dual-use technology moving forward.
We're also looking at the monumental effort over at Asahi Linux. Getting a daily driver Linux set up on Apple Silicon is no joke, especially when Apple keeps changing the rules under the hood.
macOS 27 threw some serious curveballs at their development team. We will get into the weeds on how they are handling emergency shutdowns and bootloader breaks.
Let's dive in.
Our first story is a major resolution to a situation that has had the AI industry holding its breath. The U.S. Department of Commerce has officially lifted export controls on Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models.
This ends an unprecedented 18-day blackout. Back on June 12th, the government issued a directive forcing Anthropic to suspend access to these models globally, which specifically included cutting off foreign nationals. It was a massive shock to the developer ecosystem.
To put this in perspective, this was not just a polite request from regulators to tweak some safety guardrails. This was the government utilizing export control authorities, which are tools usually reserved for regulating advanced weaponry or sensitive semiconductor manufacturing equipment, to literally pull a commercial software product from the public internet.
And the catalyst for this extreme measure came from a reported jailbreak discovered by researchers who were reportedly from Amazon. They demonstrated a reliable method to bypass the safety guardrails on Mythos 5, allowing the model to be used to identify zero-day software vulnerabilities and actually generate exploit code.
Which is exactly the nightmare scenario the Department of Commerce has been warning about. When you have a frontier model that excels at cybersecurity, like Mythos 5, the line between defensive analysis and offensive weaponization is incredibly thin. Once that jailbreak was validated, the government clearly felt the national security risk was too high to leave the models online.
Right. So for nearly 3 weeks, developers relying on Fable 5 and Mythos 5 were left completely stranded. But on June 30th, the Commerce Department lifted the controls. Anthropic managed to satisfy the government's security concerns and began restoring global access on July 1st.
The technical fix they implemented is very interesting. Anthropic built and deployed a new specialized classifier designed specifically to detect and block the exact techniques used in the Amazon researchers' jailbreak.
And that raises a massive debate within the AI community right now. On one hand, yes, the models are back online and businesses can resume operations. On the other hand, developers are already questioning if this new classifier essentially lobotomizes the model's capabilities. If you add heavy filtering to a model designed to analyze code for vulnerabilities, do you ruin its utility for legitimate security researchers?
It is the classic false positive problem. If the classifier is too aggressive, legitimate code auditing gets flagged as malicious exploit generation. But from Anthropic's perspective, they really did not have a choice. It was either implement the classifier to intercept those specific prompt patterns or leave their flagship models offline indefinitely.
This incident really cements the role of the government's Center for AI Standards and Innovation, or CAC. We are now living in a world where AI labs might have to proactively clear their model architectures and safety mechanisms with federal regulators before a public release, just to avoid this kind of sudden, catastrophic service disruption.
Exactly. Think about the chilling effect this has on enterprise adoption. If you are a chief technology officer building your company's infrastructure around a specific frontier model, you now have to factor in the risk that the U.S. government could literally turn it off overnight because someone somewhere figured out a new jailbreak.
That is going to aggressively accelerate the push for model-agnostic architectures. Companies are going to want agent operating systems that can seamlessly hot-swap between Anthropic, OpenAI, or open-weight models purely as an insurance policy against regulatory blackouts.
I want to dig into the export control aspect of this too, because using the Department of Commerce to enforce this globally is a huge flex of jurisdictional power. Because Anthropic is a U.S. company, the government essentially dictated that providing API access to a server constitutes an export if the end user is a foreign national.
Right. And that interpretation of export law has been heavily debated in legal circles. Historically, export controls on software meant you could not ship a physical disk or allow a direct download of the compiled code to a restricted entity. But applying it to cloud-based API access, where the model weights never leave the U.S. server, that is a very aggressive, modern interpretation of the law.
It effectively turns every API call into a regulated transaction. And because tracking the true nationality of every API user globally is nearly impossible, especially with virtual private networks and proxy resellers, the government's only practical move was to force a blanket suspension.
Which brings us back to the classifier approach. By implementing a behavioral feature at the inference layer, Anthropic is trying to satisfy the export control requirement not by restricting who uses the model, but by restricting what the model will output. They are arguing that the dangerous export isn't the access itself, but the generation of the exploit code.
If the Commerce Department accepts that premise long term, it is a huge relief for the industry. It means companies can rely on technical guardrails rather than impossible know-your-customer requirements for every single developer on the internet.
But the cat-and-mouse game continues. The Amazon researchers found one jailbreak. What happens when someone finds another one next week? Do we get another 18-day blackout? The industry needs a more resilient framework than just turning off the lights every time a vulnerability is disclosed.
Absolutely. For now, developers are just relieved to have Fable 5 and Mythos 5 back online. But the era of unregulated frontier model deployment is definitively over.
Moving on to the hardware side of things, the Asahi Linux team just dropped their 7.1 progress report, and it is a masterclass in the grueling art of reverse engineering. They have made massive strides in supporting the M3 series Macs.
For anyone who has not followed the Asahi project, their goal is to make Linux run natively on Apple Silicon. Not in a virtual machine, but on the bare metal. And because Apple provides exactly zero documentation for this hardware, the Asahi team has to figure out how every single chip communicates by analyzing macOS behavior.
And with the 7.1 release, they have successfully shipped drivers for M3 PCIe, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, NVMe storage, and audio. Getting all of that working natively on a completely undocumented architecture is a monumental achievement for the open source community.
It really is. But the progress report also highlights the unique pain of building for an ecosystem where the manufacturer can change the rules underneath you without warning. A huge portion of this update was dedicated to fixing critical issues caused by Apple's recent macOS 27 update.
Yeah, macOS 27 introduced some brutal breaking changes for alternate operating systems. First, there was the bootloader issue. Apple updated their boot tooling, and suddenly the Mac's firmware refused to recognize the Asahi Linux partition.
Right. The Asahi team had to dive in and figure out why. It turned out Apple had introduced a new, undocumented APFS metadata flag that the boot picker was silently looking for. If the flag was not there, the partition was just ignored. The developers had to reverse engineer the new APFS structure, implement the flag in their own installer, and push an emergency fix just so users could boot their machines.
And as frustrating as that is, the bootloader issue was not even the scariest part of the macOS 27 update. Apple also quietly changed the System Management Controller, or SMC, firmware interface. This is the subsystem that handles critical things like battery management and power delivery.
Which is incredibly dangerous if you do not know it changed. Because the Asahi power supply drivers were still using the old interface assumptions, they started misinterpreting the data coming from the SMC. The system thought it was receiving completely different voltage and thermal readings than it actually was.
Exactly. The progress report noted that this misinterpretation was leading to potential emergency shutdowns. If the kernel thinks the battery is doing something catastrophic because the data format changed, it is going to pull the plug to protect the hardware. The Asahi team had to rapidly decode the new SMC data structures to stabilize power management on M3 devices.
It really puts into perspective the tightrope they are walking. They're trying to build a stable, daily driver operating system on top of a moving target. every time Apple pushes a major macOS update, there is a very real risk that it breaks the fundamental hardware interfaces Asahi relies on.
Which brings up the ongoing debate about Apple's closed ecosystem. While Apple does not actively block Asahi, they do allow custom kernels to boot, they certainly do not make it easy. There is no stability guarantee for these low-level firmware interfaces.
And despite that, the Asahi team is getting incredibly close to feature parity for general use. With Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and audio now solid on the M3, the remaining hurdles are mostly around deep sleep states and advanced power management features. Getting the machine to idle at the same incredibly low wattage as native macOS is the next big frontier.
It is fascinating to watch. They are essentially writing the missing manual for Apple Silicon in real time. And in doing so, they are upstreaming a massive amount of code into the mainline Linux kernel, which benefits the entire open source ecosystem, not just Mac users.
If you have an M3 Mac and you have been waiting to try Linux, the 7.1 release is probably the first time it feels genuinely usable for daily tasks. Just be prepared to hold your breath the next time Apple drops a major macOS update.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick. We have a highly requested feature for Claude Code, and a viral essay that might change how you handle your next code review. Over on GitHub, issue 72877 for Claude Code is gaining traction. Users are asking for a create environment tool within Claude Code Remote.
Right. Now, if you want to set up a persistent scheduled trigger, you have to leave your terminal, go to the Claude.ai web settings, create the environment there, and then come back. It totally breaks the local first, all in the terminal workflow Anthropic is pushing.
It is a classic friction point. Developers want the AI agent to be able to provision its own execution environment seamlessly. But obviously, giving an AI the keys to spin up infrastructure requires some careful security guardrails.
Finally, a blog post by a software engineer titled "Why I Stopped Arguing with People" blew up on Hacker News this week, pulling in over 500 points. The core argument is that most professional debates, especially in tech, are not actually about finding objective truth. They are driven by ego, where challenging someone's technical opinion feels like a personal attack on their identity. The author argues that winning the argument often means losing the relationship. It sparked a huge debate in the comments about whether avoiding arguments is a mature conflict resolution strategy or just intellectual surrender in high-stakes environments.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the NoriCast Tech Briefing.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the stories we covered today.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the latest in tech. Stay safe out there.